Why is it, Carmela, that Costco is the largest wine retailer in the United States, but almost no major wine reviewing sites review Kirkland's signature wine?
I mean, good question.
Does it feel like maybe a conspiracy?
Maybe.
Or maybe is it that the snobs are just too good for Costco?
Oh my gosh, maybe they are. But really, I want to know where they buy in bulk.
I say we find out.
Okay.
Hello, and welcome to the Wine Pair Podcast. I'm Joe, your sommelier of a reasonably priced wine, and this is my wife and my wine pairing partner in crime, Carmela.
Hi there.
And we are the Wine Pair. Okay, a quick orientation for those of you who may be new to the podcast. In each episode, what we do is we learn about, and we taste, and we give our honest review of three wines that are reasonably priced, which means under $20 each, and should be easy for you to find. And our podcast is made for people who want to learn more about wine and find new wines to enjoy, and just want someone to talk about wine in a fun way that regular people can understand. Is that so wrong?
No, I love it. That's what we do.
So if that sounds like you,
you're in the right place.
Okay, and we are proud to say that we are recommended by the editors of Decanter Magazine, who call us fun, irreverent,
chatty,
and entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Carmela,
yes.
We are back again with another one of our Costco Kirkland Signature Wine Challenges. Where we pit Costco Kirkland signature wines against other similarly priced wines. And this week, we are seeing how the Kirkland signature Russian River Pinot Noir stacks up against some similarly priced Pinot Noirs.
Ooh, and you chose the Pinot Noirs. Those mm-hmm. are like near and dear to our heart.
That's right. So the battle is on. It's going to be a real
wow.
battle. And as an extra
bonus,
I'm not taking any sides. I want to fair and square.
I mean, makes sense.
No hitting below the belt.
Wow.
Okay. And as an extra bonus for us, or maybe an extra bonus for you, really, Carmela, I'm doing a little wine cellar cleaning.
Oh, and, thank God.
Yeah, we're going to compare the Kirkland wine to a couple of Pinot Noirs that I've been hanging on to for a little bit and just needed to get out of the cellar and onto the shelf.
I can't believe we have some just hanging out in there.
I know. So we've got a California Pinot Noir, an Oregon Pinot Noir, and we're going to taste and compare them. These are easy to find wines and similarly priced, so we're going to do it.
Okay.
And Carmela, this is now our 8th episode on Costco wines.
Okay.
And our 6th Costco wine challenge.
And love it.
Yep. And these tend to be among our most popular episodes, at least if you look into the Google machine.
Ah, so listen in, people.
Yeah, and we'll talk about why I think that is, that they are popular
why
in the Google.
Why do you think?
Well, we're going to talk about it in a few minutes.
Okay.
But first, before we do that, I want to talk about why Costco is great.
Well, I mean,
hold on. And not so... you got to let me finish. Why Costco is great.
Wait.
And not so great about educating people on wine. But what were you going to say, my wife?
I just have so many reasons why it's great. But I guess I'll leave that to you since you have the script.
Yeah. Well, I'm not talking about why it's great in general.
Oh.
We're talking
oh.
about why it's great about wine. Why
oh,
do you?
Yes.
What's one reason why you think it's great about educating people on wine?
Well, I don't know why. I don't know what it does to educate people about wine, well, but I know that there's a lot of wine to choose from and it's reasonably priced.
You are very right. Everyone knows, including you, Carmela. I don't know what I just called you. Or you should know that Costco sells a lot of wine.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, again, as we said in the intro, Costco sells the most wine of any retailer in the United States, and that's a lot.
Wow.
Now, what's interesting is they sell a large volume of wine, but they don't sell a huge variety of wines. And by that, what I mean is every store generally stocks only about 100 to maybe 150 different wines at any time. So despite the fact that they have a large number of wines and or bottles of wine,
mm-hmm.
and they sell a lot of wine, what Costco is about, and I know this will shock you, Costco is about volume.
Of course.
And that makes sense. That's their
its
model.
Middle name.
Right? Exactly.
Volume.
They keep their customers happy and the margins high by buying a few items in bulk, right?
They must be. I mean, they're obviously, they go by the model of supply and demand.
Absolutely.
I mean, why else? Why else would they do so
why
well?
Why else would they do it?
Right.
Okay, I'm going to have you do a little visualization exercise, Carmela.
Okay.
Just to visualize a little bit about how Costco sells wine.
So a little meditation.
Yeah, think about it. Like in a grocery store, you go into a grocery store and you go into the wine section and what do you see?
Wine.
You win. No, you see wines, but you see individual bottles of wine lined up one by one by one.
Right.
And every bottle's a different bottle, and they're kind of stacked to the back, right? They're stacked like in a row.
But this has cases and cases and cases.
Exactly. And they sell them in cases, right? So it's not like they have a single bottle and the next to it is a single bottle. No,
but
they show it in pallets and boxes.
But you can buy a single bottle.
Of course you can. Of course you can.
Okay.
But my point is while they have a huge section of wine, they don't have it's not like in a grocery store where they have one wine after
another. They don't have as much
variety. Exactly. And so
they're going for what they think the people want, though, or what the people are buying.
That's right. And so even the finest wines that they have are bought in bulk. And the selection of wine at a Costco store in terms of number of items is probably not all that different from your local grocery store or corner wine shop. And maybe even less when you think about breadth, right? Mm-hmm. But Costco has a huge impact on what people drink because they sell a lot of wine, but they also curate that wine list pretty tightly, right? Mm-hmm. So they offer a huge range of prices on their wine, not just inexpensive wines, but also expensive wines. But it's that curation of the wine that I think Costco is really good about wine education and really bad about wine education. Mm-hmm.
And here's why.
The good is that Costco's wine selection is actually generally pretty good. And you can find a pretty broad range of varietals there from all over the world. Mm-hmm. So they do a decent job. So they expose their audience, which is a ton of people. There's 125 million Costco members.
Oh, my.
That's a lot of people.
Goodness.
So they expose those people to a lot of wine and you know, exposed.
Say, wow.
But what's not so great about Costco is that they're a volume seller. Mm-hmm. And so smaller artisan winemakers or less well-known wine regions, they're just not going
to
make it.
Not going to be able to tap in.
Exactly.
To Costco.
Mm-hmm. So if Costco is your main source of wine, both from a buying and an exposure standpoint, you're definitely only going to get the select view of wine that they want you to see.
For sure.
And again, it's generally actually very good wine, but it's not representative of the whole world of wine.
No.
So, and
I get it.
Yeah, but I can hardly pin that on Costco. That's not, it's really, it's basically
true. Did you
bring
it up to them? Were you like, hey, Costco? I didn't.
No, I didn't. But I think that's true of basically every large wine retailer and store. And why I think, Carmela, it's so important what we do on this podcast.
Life-changing.
It's life-changing because what we try and do to you, Carmela, to our wonderful listeners.
Expose us.
We try to make you naked. No, we try to expose you to new and different wines. Like we have our WTF episodes and our Italian wine adventure episodes. Yeah, naked.
Oh, wow.
You can say naked
okay,
on here.
Okay.
But others like that. We're trying to expose you, bare naked you to other wines.
Wow.
But not today.
No.
Today, we're sticking to a well-known varietal of Pinot Noir, and we're going to taste and review the Kirkland Signature Russian River Pinot Noir alongside two other easy-to-find Pinot Noirs, and we're going to let you know who wins this challenge.
Woo!
But first,
you got to do our shameless plug.
That's right. So we want to thank you for listening to us and supporting our show. And if you haven't done so yet, now would be a great time to subscribe to the podcast. And a huge thank you to all of you who have subscribed already. And if you haven't done so yet, another great time to maybe do a nice rating and review so that other people will go, hey, I should give them a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also follow us and see pictures of the wines that we're tasting and trying today on Instagram. And actually, you're going to start seeing a lot of crazy artificial intelligence pictures because I've kind of gone crazy about that.
You have already posted some too.
I have, and I will continue to until they stop me. So you can see that at Instagram at the Wine Pair Podcast, and you can contact us on our website, thewinepairpodcast.com, and you can email us there, and you can sign up for our email newsletter, which is the greatest newsletter in the history of the world. And as we do every week, we're going to tell you someone we think you should tell about the Wine Pair Podcast.
Ah.
And this week, we want you to tell anyone who loves to buy wine at Costco and also can't wait to tell you how much they paid for that wine at Costco.
Well, do you think people do? Are they like us where they're like $6.99?
Yeah, I mean, can you believe it?
Really? I only paid $5.99 for it.
You dummy. Yeah, exactly. No, that's what I want. I want you to do
something. What is that about us? Like, we have to like, somebody says something's
it's
nice
and
we're like.
It's such an Italian thing.
It is an Italian
thing. It's like we want to fool you. We got a bargain.
Right. And we're like, oh, you look so nice. And then the person will say, oh my God.
I bought the shirt at Costco.
At Costco, yeah, or whatever it is. It's like,
oh, actually, I think what I'm wearing right now, I got at Costco. Yeah, but wow. Anyway.
You're just like dressed for the occasion.
I am. Okay, we ready to move on?
I am ready.
Okay, Carmela, before we get into the wine tasting and reviewing part of the program, which is what I think everybody's waiting for.
Okay.
I did want to spend a little time talking about the subculture of wine reviewers that talk about and taste and review Costco Kirkland Signature wines. And I bring this up because I think this is partially why our Costco episodes are popular on the Google machine. Uh-huh. And two, because people drink a lot of wine from Costco. But again, I have almost never seen their house wines reviewed by major reviewers like Wine Spectator or Wine Enthusiast or Decanter or Vinius or those types of folks. Now, every once in a while you may, and I've seen them every once in a while, but generally you don't. And why do you think that is?
Well, like you said, I think that they are thinking that they are not appealing to the audience that shops for wine at Costco. And it may be like a snobby reason behind it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think so. I think the price point is part of it. Like, should we actually review cheaper wines? I don't know if we should do that.
Right.
I think another has to do with the fact that Costco doesn't actually make the wine. Somebody else is making the wine. And so maybe they're like, hey, if I don't know who makes the wine, maybe I'm not going to do
but
a house
they,
wine.
But are those people only selling their wines at Costco? Probably not.
No. And one thing I'll talk about a little bit later is now you're starting to see more and more winemakers show up on the bottles, like the Kirkland Signature bottle, and they'll say made by blah, or you can find. So I think something's happening there too. So to fill that gap of wine reviewers, because a lot
mind
of people
the
buy,
gap.
Yeah, mind the gap. A lot of people that buy those Costco wines and they like those Costco Kirkland Signature wines. So there's an interesting subset or subculture of wine reviewers that do offer reviews of Costco wines. Then they show up pretty quickly when you do a search on the Google machine. Mm-hmm. And there are two main websites that I see all the time. Hmm. It's Costco Wine Blog and Reversed Wine Snob.
Oh.
And so I think these folks are smart because they have a niche, and it's niche, not niche. They have a niche that people are interested in, but it's not a small niche. So I think they're real smart because a lot of people buy Costco wine. It's the biggest retailer of wine in the United States, and there are hardly any reviews about it. Now, the person behind, I'm going to talk about him a little bit. The person behind the Costco wine blog is a guy named Andrew Cullen. And he tells it this way, that the website kind of started on a whim. He was kind of a serial blogger, so he'd write for a lot of different blogging sites and started a lot of blogging sites. And he was writing an article, just an article, for a site called blogroom.com on buying wine on Costco, and it took off.
Oh, wow.
So they built the Costco wine blog, and they've been at it for like 10 years.
Wow. And is he the one that, he's the one that reviews, or is he just the person who owns the blog?
Great question. So actually what they say is they say that their site is 100% written by fans of Costco wine. So great question, because I think, I don't know this for sure, but my guess is that they have a small coterie, if you will, of people writing articles that Andrew edits. He's the editor. Now, like many wine reviewing sites, they do rate on a 100-point scale. So my guess is that the ranges are pretty similar in terms of expected qualities. By that, I mean like an 80 to 89 rating is pretty good. A 99 to 94 rating is real good. And a 95 plus is like, hoo, Nelly,
you should buy that ever, sucker. Have you ever?
Yes.
I feel like we don't ever.
What?
Find wines with that rating.
Not at our price point.
No,
but you might on the Costco wine blog. Okay. Anyway, they've also started to expand beyond Costco's Kirkland wines in terms of what they review, but they stick to wines that they can find at Costco.
Okay.
Which makes sense because they're the Costco wine blog.
And that's why they have their niche.
Yeah, that's right. Their niche, not a niche. Mm-mm. Okay. The other popular Costco wine reviewing site has the name that I love, the Reverse Wine Snob, and they have a lot of similar philosophies. Now, unlike the Costco blog, the Reverse Wine Snob also covers like Trader Joe's wines and Sam's Club's wines and Aldi wines as well. And the site does kind of look like maybe it's run by a single person. There's a guy named John Thorson, and he believes and he believes like we do that you can find great wines under $20. And in fact, he focuses sometimes on that $10-ish range. So that's good. Wow. And like us, Carmela, he's not a master sommelier. He's not a PhD. He's a person who loves wine. He probably has a pretty good palate. And he wants to find great wines at a reasonable price.
Oh, that's amazing. Can we meet this guy?
I would like to meet him.
Let's dial him up.
I agree. Hey, John, Sunday if you're out there, dinner. Let's hang out. Oh, let's hang out a little bit.
The same, you know, ideas here.
Exactly. And he also, you know, he also believes in you learn about wine by drinking lots of different wines, which is exactly what we're trying to do as well.
Which is a lot of fun.
Now, unlike us, he has a humongous following on social media.
Hey.
We have a decent following. We have a good, I'm happy with our following on social media.
Yeah.
But he's got like 15, 30, I don't know, tons of thousands of people.
Okay.
And he looks like also, he's also smart because he looks like he gets a lot of his wine sent to him. Which is fun because we pay for our own wine. And
we need to have a conversation with
him. I know.
Him.
We need to find out because the other thing that John does is he has a portion of the site called Insider Deals. And it looks like it's wines that he inventories and then sells. So this is his gig.
He's making
the bucks off of the reverse wine
stuff. Does John have another job?
No, this is it. I think this is it.
Then that's saying something.
Now, another thing that John is similar to us, or reverse wine snob is similar to us, is he does not use the 100-point scale. He actually uses a 10-point scale.
Woo!
But a little different than us, which I find really interesting.
Hmm.
He doesn't just limit it to 10 numbers because he uses a formula. And so he will have 7.5s and 6. We do whole numbers.
Right.
But what he does is he combines the taste rating of a wine with the cost.
Mm-hmm.
And so a rating is an amalgamation of the two. So I think it's pretty clever. So a 10 rated wine, so a wine that gets a 10 can never be above $7.
Wow.
And a $25 wine, so he has some $25 wines that he'll review, could never have a rating above 7.5.
Because it just gets marked down because of the price.
Exactly.
Ah.
So a mediocre rating on a low-cost wine is better on that site than a strong rating on a more expensive wine. Because again, his purpose is, let's find inexpensive wines that are good that you can, you know, that you can afford and enjoy.
But if you don't like it very much, and if it's reasonable, I mean...
Well, I'm not saying like... It's not like it's shitty. I mean, it's not like he's saying it's a two, but because it's $5, I'm giving it an eight. No, I mean, you're still going to get, still relative.
Okay.
He's just saying if it's like a $10 wine and you give it a 7 rating, that's probably better than a 7 rating on a $25 wine. That's his point.
Okay.
You get it?
I get it.
I get it. Okay. But again, what makes us a little bit different from all these other wine reviewers that I think is that we compare the Costco wines or the other wines that we're tasting to other similar wines.
Mm-hmm.
So they give you their review of the wine itself, which we do. But then we're also saying, we also try to stack up the wines against other wines to see how they sort of relate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I think that we do uniquely. And also our 10-point scale, which I think is kind of easy to understand.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that in a few minutes when we get to our wine tasting part. Now, of the two reviewers, just before we get to that, I actually think that we tend to be a little closer in ratings to the Costco wine blog. Although both of them seem to be bigger fans of like bold oaky wines like Cabernet Sauvignon and Chardonnay than we are, which is fine. A lot of people love those wines.
It's fine.
It's just not our gig.
Yeah.
It's not. We like them. We don't love them. It's okay. We're okay.
Yeah.
We are okay, Carmela.
Right.
Okay. I think we should move on though.
I'm ready.
I've been talking a lot. Do you feel like I've been talking a lot?
I just like, it's you like I keep getting caught. Like something's like, because you just, but that's okay. I'm just got my listening ears on.
Nice.
And I'm just going to be an active listener.
For all you people out there, it's a very rare occasion that she puts her listening.
Oh, boy.
I had to know the other night, I had to say, Carmela, come up for air.
When?
We were family.
No.
I was like, with Super Bowl, you were just like, yabba, jabba.
I know. Well, because just two nights before that, we were on this podcast.
And you couldn't talk. You weren't even allowed to talk. Okay. Let's talk about the Pinot Noir wines that we chose for this episode.
Okay.
What do you say, Carmela?
I'm down.
Okay. So, as usual, all the wines that we've chosen for this episode are under $20, and all of them should be relatively easy to find because I bought one of them at Costco, so there's that. And the other two I bought, one I bought at a drugstore called Rite Aid, and the other one came from Total Wine.
Oh my goodness.
And I think, in general, you can find the wines by these two producers, these Robert Mondavi and Samuel Robert, pretty easily.
Okay.
So the first wine we're going to taste and review is the Robert Mondavi Private Selection Pinot Noir, which sounds fancy, but this wine is under $9.
My goodness.
And it was the least expensive of all of our wines, even less expensive than the Costco wine.
Mm.
And it's a 2018, so I think it's probably time to drink it.
Okay.
Now, on the Mondavi website, they talk about what the Private Selection series is supposed to be.
Private. Very private.
But when I read it, I was like, this sounds like marketing gobbledygook. And I should know because I've been in marketing for 25 years.
True.
I know marketing gobbledygook when I see it.
Uh-oh.
I think what it is, it's a way of making a cheap wine sound expensive, and higher in quality.
Sounds like you already have an opinion about this
wine. Well, I'm just saying, I'm going to keep an open mind, but I just, when you see private selection, you think, hey, Robert has a few bottles that he sets aside. But I just think it's the marketers were like, I don't know, let's call it private selection.
Right. That's right. It's intriguing. It's definitely, you know, piques your interest, I would say.
That's right. Hmm. So,
and this was on the shelf. I mean, it was in the cellar.
Yeah, but it was on the shelf at a Rite Aid.
Right.
At a drugstore. Okay. So there you go.
Okay.
Now, I couldn't find a ton out about this wine other than it's got a sound, a name that's trying to sound more expensive than it is. Mm-hmm. But Mondavi makes a ton of wine. And I didn't know this. So today I learned, or a few days ago when I wrote this script, I learned that Mondavi is behind Opus One Winery, which is also owned by Chateau Mouton Rothschild. And if you don't know about Opus One Wines, let's just say that is expensive.
Ooh.
Super expensive wines.
Okay. We won't be reviewing them.
No. The next wine we're going to drink is called Conscious by Samuel Robert Pinot Noir. And this is a 2019. And actually, Wine Enthusiasts gave this wine an 88 rating and called it a best buy. So I think this one will give Kirkland a run for its money.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Again, not a ton I could find out about this wine because the winery website is janky. It's been janky for a long time. I don't know what's going on, but they haven't updated their website. It's still like error messages. But from sources I found, Samuel Robert says that they focus on staying environmentally and sustainably friendly.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
I know, but it sounds to me like we want to sound organic-ish. Or sustainable-ish, but we don't actually want to go through the
totally
certification.
Exactly. To it.
Yes. So to say sustainable-friendly is like...
That's, yeah.
Yeah, we're friendly about it. We like them, but we're not them.
No. Strange.
Sort of sustainable. We're kind of sustainable.
We're friendly, yeah, to those who are.
Exactly.
Like you said, that's weird.
Exactly. Mm. Okay. So I couldn't find a tech sheet for this wine. I couldn't find out any real information about what the Conscious line of Samuel Robert wines is for. So who knows? If anybody knows out there, just let us know.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get to the star of the show. The Kirkland Signature Russian River Valley Pinot Noir.
And it's a Pinot Noir.
Yeah. Now, as I mentioned, this Costco wine is, and this is starting to happen more and more, we get to see who the winemaker is.
Okay.
It's a guy named Glenn Hugo, who's the head winemaker at Girard Winery in Napa Valley. Now, Girard is a big winery that makes a ton of different wines, some of which are pretty pricey, like in the $120 to $150 range.
Wow.
But I didn't see any Pinot Noir that they make. So, and according to the Costco wine blog, Glenn Hugo makes several other Kirkland Signature wines, including the Kirkland Signature Rutherford Cabernet Sauvignon, which sells in the $20 range at Costco, which is relatively expensive for a Kirkland Signature wine. Mm-hmm. So I think Glenn is like, I'd like to make a Pinot, Costco. How about I make one for you?
Is that how the conversation went?
Yes.
You think? Okay.
He called him up. Hey, guys, this is Glenn Hugo. I don't even know how I'm Glenn Hugo.
I doubt
he doesn't
talk sounds anything like that.
Anyway.
Sorry, Glenn.
But speaking of exposing, it does seem like we're starting to see more and more winemakers exposing themselves
making
Costco wines.
This is frightening.
Now, why do you think that might be?
I don't really want to know. Don't ask me that question.
It could be their kink, but I don't think that's it. No, I think that I'm actually curious if Costco is asking them to do that or if they're asking to do it. Because Costco might do it because it's like, hey.
They don't want the blame?
No. Costco might do it because it's like, hey, we got legit wines from real winemakers and it's not expensive, so you should buy a ton of it.
Ah.
Or it could be that the winemakers are like,
they want credit.
Yeah, exactly. You guys sell a lot of wine. People may like it. They should probably know what wines I make. And so will you put my name on the bottle?
Right.
Or it could be an amalgamation.
You know, it could be bad. I mean, like, it could be bad for both of them. What if people just don't like the wine both ways?
Okay. I don't know. I can't answer that question.
I don't know.
I don't know. Okay. What I will say is that the Costco wine blog and Reverse Wine Snob had kind of divergent opinions of this wine, this Kirkland Signature Russian River Valley Pinot Noir. They both liked it, but Reverse Wine Snob liked it quite a bit better. Costco Wine Blog did say that they liked the 2021 vintage. This is the 2022 vintage a lot better, and they gave it an 89. So, but you know what? Who cares what they think?
And
who cares what they think?
What was the cost of this one again?
Well, I haven't said yet.
Oh, no wonder I'm confused.
The cost for this one was $11.99, but we're going to get to that in a second.
Okay.
So I think that on that, perfect segue, Carmela. Thank you for doing this.
You're so welcome.
I think it's time for us to taste and review these wines. And by the way, for those of you out there in listening land, if you have a Pinot Noir, especially if you have one of these Pinot Noirs, why don't you crack it open and drink along with us? We haven't said that for a while. Come on, let's have some fun.
Yeah, we're allowing you to.
Wow. You're allowed. Okay, we're going to take a really quick break and we'll be right back.
Okay,
we are back and we are ready to try our first Pinot Noir. This is the Robert Mondavi Private Selection Pinot Noir. It's from the Central Coast of California. It's a 2018 and was $8.99 at Rite Aid, which again is a drugstore. 13.5% alcohol, 100% Pinot Noir as far as I know. No professional ratings. But Carmela, what might you be smelling?
Well, it's kind of like floral, kind of a potpourri, maybe?
I'm getting a kind of a pretty nice Pinot Noir kind of smell, kind of cherry, a little bit of oak and wood I can smell on it.
Okay.
But you're getting a little more like rose, potpourri.
A little rose.
Perfumey, maybe a little bit, perfumey, a that little alcohol bit. And yeah. perfume. Kind mm-hmm. of.
Are you not getting it?
No, I am. I am getting it. But I'm getting a little bit more cherry on it maybe even a little strawberry.
I was just going to say a little strawberries, almost what I'm getting, mm-hmm. more than cherry, really.
More than cherry?
I think so, just at least in the smell.
It's got a little maybe richer smell than some maybe a typical Pinot Noir, but this is like a California Pinot, so might just have that smell to it.
Okay. There's a little bit of licorice on it, too.
Ooh,
red
I like
licorice,
that. Mm-hmm.
You know, like one of the fancy licorice smells.
But are you getting a little bit of wood or sulfur or matchstick or something on it too?
A little bit, and kind of freshly struck match, mm-hmm. not like oak, not like smoky.
An old match, not an old match.
Kind of not like in smoky, like you just put out a fire.
And the smoke went up your nose.
True, not like that.
No. Okay, well, let's taste it and see what we think. Hey, it's got a little bit of a bite on it.
It's kind of tart.
Yeah,
I'm tasting the matchstick, actually. Not as much fruit.
No. I was surprised, like, actually, the aftertaste, I'm getting quite a bit of that matchstick.
Yeah,
on it.
Yeah. It's a little sour or a little, not in a bad, not that it's gone bad, I don't think.
I don't think it's gone bad. I don't think it's very good.
It just doesn't have a lot of fruit. It's not very subtle or smooth for the Pinots that we typically drink.
No. And I'm, like, very tart cherry, tart strawberry, like, not quite ripe strawberry.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of like match and sulfur on it.
Yeah, that's I'm getting that definitely on the taste.
It's
fresh,
not,
struck match.
Yeah, and it's not really cleaning off the tongue very well.
No, and it just doesn't have that smooth, you know, that kind of a subtle, nice, I don't know, just a little bit rough.
A little rough, I agree.
Yeah.
It's not
as polished.
I like a Pinot Noir to be like subtle and...
Ooh, mysterious.
A little bit mysterious. This one's like, blammo!
Yeah, not really punching in your face like with a ton of fruit, just like...
But there is flavor.
There's flavor, but
like
the flavor...
Sharp.
Yeah, but it's almost like tart, like you said, it's like underripe fruits. So it's a little bit of that, you said like that bite.
Yeah, it's got bite. It's mm-hmm. totally got bite. What food might you eat with this wine?
Well, I think you're going to want to have food with it. Like, I don't think it's a standalone. I think maybe... You know, a cheeseburger, something greasy.
Yeah, this is a perfect example of like a wine that would not do well with tomato sauce. Like it wouldn't do well with something acidic.
True, you're
because
right.
Because it's got so much acid, it's so acidy and tart tasting, that it's just not going to do well with like that kind of food.
No, you're not going to do like a heavy tomato sauce or even like a bolognese sauce.
Or a lemon chicken or anything like that. It's just going to it's got so much bite to it, it's just not going to do it. No, I think you're right, a greasy cheeseburger, maybe some grilled like charred meat.
Right.
You know,
or like
something that's
like
been grilled.
Those lamb sickles that would be nice.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, I'm thinking like more of a greasy, big bite type of food too.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's funny. The taste of it was so different than the smell. When I smelled it, I was like, ooh, Robert, you might be doing something right here.
Exposing yourself.
But the taste is just not, it has no subtlety at all to it. Not smooth, not, anyway. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to rate this wine. So as a reminder, on our rating scale, We rate on a scale of 1 to 10, so there's that. And a 7 and above means that we're going to buy it. It's a good rating. Mm-hmm. And a 4 below means we're going to pour it down the sink. And a 5 or a 6 means, like, we drink it. We probably even finish it. But we're probably not going to buy it, and we probably look for something else. So, Carmela, what would you give this wine?
Well, this might be generous, but I'm going to give it a 5.
You know, it's funny. I'm exactly the same as you. I don't think it's atrocious. No. Like, I don't think I would pour it down the sink. I wouldn't.
It's just not the expectation.
Yeah, I wouldn't, like, toss it. If I was at a wedding, I wouldn't, like, toss it into the bushes. You wouldn't
just go, and, like, spit it out.
I wouldn't go, who bought this piece? I wouldn't say that.
I hope not. Because then I don't really want to go with you.
Do you guys love each other? Because this wine sucks. No, like, I wouldn't do that.
I can just imagine, though, you might take a sip and just yeah. and just blow it out at somebody. Would you do that?
No, but you know what I would do? I'd take a sip and I'd turn to you and I'd go, that wine's not very good.
Yeah.
Like a total snob.
You kind of give me that look and yeah, I go, like, I know what he's thinking. Right.
Okay. Well, speaking of snobs, I don't know. We are agreeing on the rating of this wine. And I say
swine.
The swine. And so I think we take a pig break and we snort through our next point. Oh, she just laughed and she cringed because she pulled a muscle. She was laughing so hard. All right. Give us a few seconds and we'll be right back with our next wine. Okay, we are back and ready to try our next wine. This is conscious.
It's alive.
It is self-aware.
It's alive.
This is Conscious by Samuel Robert. It is Oregon wine from Willamette Valley. It's a 2019. It was $12.59 at Total Wine. The 59 always throws me. It's probably on sale. 13.5% alcohol, 100% Pinot Noir. And again, Wine Enthusiast gave this an 88 and a Best Buy. So what are you smelling, Carmela?
Well, it smells a little alcohol-y to me. But
I don't think it smells all that different from the last wine, but maybe like even less fruit.
Behind the smell, yeah.
It's got that same kind of matchstick, wood kind of quality.
It just is lacking the smoothness, that really nice. And I know we're not having tasted it yet, but I just feel like there's something about a Pinot that is so inviting. It's not like shocking or, you know, too
shocking.
But this is kind of doing the same thing. It's a little bit harsh.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm getting a little bit of fruit, like maybe a little bit of strawberry or something on
maybe
it.
Maybe raspberry.
Mm-hmm. Maybe raspberry.
It's a little tart, you know, a little.
And there was some. Oh, it's got a little bit of earthiness to it, like a little bit of, you know, like forest soil.
Like damp forest.
Yes.
Like being in the forest floor.
Yeah. Mushroomy almost. Not quite mushroomy, but you know what I mean? It's got like a little bit of that like forest musky kind of smell. Okay, I think we try
it. Let's do it. Ooh, even tart. More tart than the last one.
I don't know if it's more tart. And really? I actually think it's more mellow.
Oh.
Very raspberry.
I think it's, that's, yeah, okay. But that, raspberries seem kind of tart to me. Maybe that's why I'm getting that. I don't know.
But to me, it's not as like shockingly tart or acidic as the last one. It's close. It's not like totally different. It's close. But it's a little smoother than that one. It has a similar aftertaste, though. It's got that similar kind of sulfury kind of aftertaste to it.
And again, yeah, it's. I mean, yeah, I can get behind that. It's a little more fruit on it. But it still doesn't have the smoothness of a typical Pinot.
No, it doesn't. It is sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's sharp. It's tart.
It tastes young.
It's aggressive. Yeah, it tastes young. It doesn't. It's not mellow. It's not austere.
No.
It's super, it's juicy.
You should just see him. He's just analyzing with his eyes shut right now.
My eyes are shut. No, I mean, it's like, I don't know. It might be young. It might be young. It might need a little bit more time. It was a screw cap.
It was.
And we like that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what food would you have with this wine?
Yeah, kind of the same thing. I could see you having like, I mean, I could even see like, you know, something like pork tenderloin, you know, like something, it doesn't have to be as like big and meaty and beefy and that, you know, like I could see.
This one could take a little more subtlety. You could take some chicken, even a pizza. I could see a pizza.
Pizza would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what else.
Well, you made spaghetti and meatballs.
I
think a meatball would be good with this wine.
A meatball would work.
I'm not sure spaghetti. Sure. I'm not sure. Like a marinara sauce might be a little bit too much tang
Really hold up. Acidity might.
Too much acidity.
Kind of, you know, knock each other out.
Yeah. But I think I'm with you, and it could stand up to like a steak, but I don't know. It's like the first one you need grease. Yes. This one you don't have to have grease. No. It would do well with grilled foods like a grilled chicken or grilled
Or even like grilled vegetables.
Yeah,
would be nice. Something charred mm-hmm. would be nice. I think too.
Maybe
or
like
even
a,
like a sandwich. Like I could see
a sandwich.
It with a sandwich.
A banh mi.
A banh mi would be really nice.
With a banh mi.
Yeah.
I could also see this with like a teriyaki or something. Like a chicken teriyaki, yeah. Maybe a little spice to it, a little Ooh. Spiciness to it.
Nice.
Well, what rating might you give this wine, Carmelita?
Well, I'm kind of going between a 5 and a 6.
Really?
Probably a 6.
Okay. I'm kind of between a 6 and a 7.
Oh.
I'm almost to the point where I would buy it, but I'm not quite sure.
Mm.
I mean, it's pretty good price. It's a screw cap. You know, I'm thinking, would I buy it for a party? Maybe.
It's kind of a cool and very basic
yeah.
label.
I might buy it for a party,
okay.
but like I'm sticking with a 6.
If you were throwing a party.
Yeah, because I think it's kind of a crowd pleaser wine, although it is a little bit on the sharp end of it, mm-hmm. like a little acidic. But I think it would be okay, like at a picnic, like a summer party, I think it would be a good
choice.
Yeah, and you could chill it a little bit. Like you could serve
for
it a little
sure.
chilled.
Actually,
and so,
it might
be a little
nice.
Better chilled.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
A little chilled. Cellar temperature. Right. So I'm going to go with a 6. Are you going with a 6?
I'm going to stick with a 6. Yeah.
And I'm really close to going with a 7.
Okay.
But I'm going to hold off for now because I'm not quite there. Okay. We're going to take a break and we're going to try the
Our
Kirkland.
Next wine.
No, this is the Kirkland wine. This is it. This is it, Kirkland. You better be ready. Okay. We are back and we are ready to try our last wine. This is the Kirkland Signature Russian River Valley Pinot Noir. It's from Sonoma County, California. It's a 2022. It was $11.99 at Costco. It's 100% Pinot Noir. It's 13.5% alcohol. And Costco Wine Blog gave it an 86. And Reverse Wine Snob gave it a 7.5.
Okay.
So what are you smelling?
What are you smelling? Have you tried it yet?
To me, it's got kind of a cherry. It's got that kind of sour cherry, mm-hmm. more classic Pinot Noir smell that I'm used to.
I think so, too. I would say that. And actually, it's kind of calmed down. The coloring looks a little more like a traditional Pinot, too. First, mm-hmm. I thought it was a little lighter or different color, but it's a pretty
wine. It's pretty.
Yeah.
It's pretty. I think it's, as I swirl it,
mm-hmm.
I'm getting that good cherry smell.
And a little bit of wood on it.
A little
but a
bit.
Nice, it doesn't, it's not a sharp smell.
Just a kiss. Of oak.
Oh, nice.
It's nice. Mm-hmm. I think it's got a great smell. To me, it's a really nice. I'm expecting something really nice out of this wine.
I hope it showed up. Come on, Costco. I hope you showed up today.
Let's try it and see what we think.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Smoother.
Yeah, much smoother.
It does have kind of that kick at the end, that like sulfury kind of kick at the end, mm-hmm. almost like it's overly oaked, but it's smoother. It's
you
more
can
of a,
get that fruit, that front of mouth fruit.
More fruit. It's
right.
got that like cherry, again, that kind of mm-hmm. classic cherry. It's not quite the super light cherry that I like, but it's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's smooth, much way smoother than the other two, for sure.
This is good.
Yeah, this is nice. And this would be a great wine for a party.
Great party wine.
Yeah, yeah. It would be a great, I mean, I think a crowd pleaser, and I think lots of palates would enjoy it.
I'm getting a little bit of like cherry licorice, a little Twizzler on it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And a little bit of strawberry. I'm getting a little strawberry, too.
Yeah,
like strawberry. You know what it's tasting to me a little bit like? Mm. Like a strawberry milkshake.
Wow. A little
like
creaminess,
sweet,
huh?
Creamy and sweet. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know why. That's a weird thing, but I just, I
really,
had a strawberry.
You really like strawberry
I did.
Shakes.
I had a strawberry milkshake the other night. And so I'm getting a little bit of that sweetness, tartness, mm-hmm, that like, I like mm-hmm. that, you know, that
flavor. Little bit of bite of the strawberry that you get.
Bit, yeah.
But then the creaminess that sort of mellows it out.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh.
What else? Anything else you're tasting?
I mean, I again, like the red fruits for sure, cherry, mm-hmm. even mm-hmm. a touch of raspberry, but okay. not, or a blackberry maybe, you know, something mm-hmm. that's a little, it's not, doesn't have the same bite as the other ones did in regards to, you know, like a tart cherry or a tart raspberry. Not
I'm
as much.
With you. I'm with you. I am getting a little bit of wood, like a hint of wood, a little cedar. I think I might be getting a little touch of leather, just a tiny, tiny
okay.
bit of saddle
leather.
That would
make sense.
Huh? A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm liking it. What food would you have with this one?
Oh, well, this is a little more sophisticated.
Sophisticated?
Sophisticated than the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
I could see this with a nice cut of meat, and I'm not a huge meat eater, but I could see this with something. It didn't have to be big and greasy and bold. It could be a nice steak that's, you know, like a little filet mignon. And you know, like a roast. I could see a roast with this.
Yeah, I think this is a good food wine. You know what I'm getting a little tiny hint of? Dr. Pepper. A little bit of Dr. Pepper.
Interesting. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, a little cola.
Yeah, but more of that like cherry and pepper.
Ooh.
You know, like spicy, cherry, peppery kind of. Anyway, I'm with you. I think those are the kinds of foods I think it'd be great with a lot of different kinds of foods. I think it could stand up to a lot of stuff.
It would be a nice, this is, I mean, it's kind of, it's pretty versatile. You could have it in the summer, but it's also very fall-like to me too. Like I could see it with, like I said, a roast. Something warm. I could even see it. I mean, you could definitely have pasta with this.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Great, like with an Italian meal, like with a bracciole, you know, like a bracciole, a bracciole, you know, like that. That would be, it would a be really nice.
Meat, that's what that is, people. Rolled. Yeah,
sorry.
Meat.
Look it up, folks.
Yeah. Says bracciole. I say bracciole.
No, we said bracciole when I was growing up. It's like a very Southern Italian dialect-y kind of thing. Okay. What rating would you give this wine?
Well, I definitely giving it a 7.
Okay. I'm giving it an 8.
Okay.
This is it's $11.99. I know,
it's pretty incredible.
So it's a really good price.
Yeah.
This is a high QPR Pinot Noir.
We have episodes.
We have episodes of high QPR Pinot Noir, and this would go in it. Now, remember, this is the Russian River Valley one. So this is, you know, Costco is going to have a bunch of different Kirkland signature ones, but this is good. So this is, I really like this one. Definitely giving it an 8.
It's kind of a creepy label. I know it's supposed to be like a cellar.
Okay.
Sorry. Sorry.
Creep out. Okay. I think this is a dumb question, but which of these are you finishing tonight, Carmela?
Absolutely number 3.
Okay. Ding, ding, ding.
How about
door
you?
Number 3.
How about you?
I think I'm going to go with the first one. Just kidding. Kirkland Signature wins. They won.
They
won the challenge.
They
won the challenge.
Up
that doesn't
nights.
Always happen.
No.
That doesn't always happen.
I mean, we are pretty partial to Costco wines, but we are fair about it. We're always, you know, we definitely are.
There have been times where it is lost.
Yeah. No, showed up tonight. Nice job.
Okay. So, well, let's do the taste profiles expected from Pinot Noir in general. And this comes from Wine Folly. Raspberry, cherry, mushroom, vanilla, hibiscus, and Oregon has a little bit more Bing cherry, cranberry, and dandelion stem. California will have more sweet black cherry, black raspberry, Coca-Cola, vanilla, and caramel. So the Robert Mondavi, the winery says medium bodied with soft tannins, fresh flavors of rose petals. I think you were getting that.
I was.
Strawberry, vibrant cherry, and fresh raspberry abound in this Pinot Noir. I think we got that. Hints of Asian spice, sweet tobacco, and Madagascar vanilla bean. Aromas of ripe red cherries and violets. Buy Wines Online says enticing aromas of red berries, floral notes, and a hint of earthiness. On the palate, it offers flavors of chasberry, raspberry, and subtle spice, supported by silky tannins and bright acidity. I think it has bright acidity. I don't think it has silky tannins.
I wouldn't call it bright acidity.
Oh, it was sharp.
Yeah.
Bright, like you have to shield your eyes.
Well,
it's so bright.
It's like a more positive connotation to it when you say bright. It was a little bit of a harsh.
Overpowering.
Yeah.
Okay. Conscious by Samuel Robert. The winery said this wine is medium bodied with flavors of cherry, earth, mineral, and sweet oak.
Oh, okay.
I think we got a lot of those.
We did.
Earth, right?
Yep.
Oak, or at least a little bit of that, cherry.
Earth.
Wine enthusiast says, don't let the lowball price fool you. This is a fine expression of authentic Willamette Valley Pinot Noir. Sweet black cherry fruit is laced with cola scents and pretty highlights of mocha. I didn't think we got any of that. And then for the Kirkland Signature Russian River Valley Pinot Noir, on the bottle it says, delicate red fruit aromas combined with sweet rhubarb, Bing cherry laced with cola, spice, and earth tones.
Okay.
So we got a lot of that.
Yeah.
The Costco wine blog said red fruits on the nose, on the mouth, flavors of cherry, strawberry, and cola. Some vanilla towards the finish, but the wine wraps up quickly in the end. I think we got a lot of that.
Yeah.
Reverse Wine Snob said begins with pleasing aromas of cherry and some assorted minty and herbal notes, plus cola, licorice, rhubarb, and a touch of earth.
Nice.
Compared to last year, some of the secondary notes are pumped up a bit in this vintage. While it's not super complex, it's some pretty tasty Pinot. Does take a time to open up. Smooth mouthfeel with lots of sweet cherry and cola flavors.
Okay.
A bit on the simple side, but crowd pleasing, no doubt. More cola and a little bit of tobacco leaned into the long dry finish. So I think we got a lot of that.
We did. Nice job.
And I was getting, I didn't say cola, but that Dr.
Pepper. But you were saying, I was bringing out that sort of the cherry and the pepper.
Yeah.
And that makes perfect sense with this wine.
Yeah. Totally. Mm-hmm. Well, I love it. I love that, that Costco
was so
won.
Fun.
They won the challenge.
We're going to be buying this.
For sure.
Too bad I was just at Costco yesterday.
I know. And, you know, these wines, sometimes they sell out pretty quickly. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you can find the Russian River Valley Pinot Noir from Costco Kirkland Signature, get it. Get it.
Yes,
get it.
Yes. We are fans.
We are fans. Okay, Carmela, it's just about time for us to go. But before we do, we want to thank you very much for listening to us. And if you haven't done so yet, now would be the perfect time to subscribe and a great time to leave us a rating review. And we'd also love to hear from you. Hear from about a wine you'd like to taste and review. Next week, we're going to do one on Pinotage that Carol said, hey, let's do it. So we're going to do it for
Carol,
her.
Carol, listen in.
That's right. You can leave a message for us on our website at thewinepairpodcast.com. You can look for our show notes, and we have articles and links to stuff there that you can find. And you can join our email newsletter there. And you can always email me and Carmela at joe@thewinepairpodcast.com. And again, tell us a wine that you're curious about. But with that, we're going to sign off. And so we want to thank you again. And we'll see you next time. And as we like to say, life is short. So stop drinking shitty wine.